Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, and there are 27 verses in this chapter. And all these verses, every chapter in the Bible is meant that you should learn from what the evil people do and what their judgment is. In one way or the other, the Lord is going to destroy the wicked. Sometimes he does it. He definitely shortens their life, and that he allows the people that are of the Lord to live longer, and also he gives them life more abundantly. They get all sorts of blessings, and they have peace of mind, and they're able to do things that the average person, and have things that the average person does not have. When I was talking in chapter 5 about self-denial, that doesn't mean that the Lord denies the people of the Lord anything, because he doesn't. He just, the people of the Lord, if they willingly deny themselves of the flesh or of sin, well, the Lord gives them everything. And, of course, it's everything that they have need of. You say, well, I know some Christians that don't have everything, and don't be deceived by a lot of people who say they're Christians, because I know very few Christians in this world. The number of true born of the Spirit Christians and that are sold out to do the will of the Lord is so slim, so small. It also quickens me to the word that says very few shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the whole world at large is saying they're all Christians, but the Bible says that they're all deceived, that they're all falling away. They're all, the masses are going to hell and to the lake of fire. And so everything that we read in the Bible shows us these things. Even in the camp of Israel, there was millions in there, and all of them died except two people that were allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven, into the Canaan land, rather. And, of course, the new ones. So they were getting a shot at it as well. But as we read further on in the Bible, you see in the book of Judges, where they all just fell down over and over again, and many, many thousands of them were killed, destroyed because of it. Because they're just self-willed, and they're so stupid, silly, whatever you want to call it, ungodly, that they haven't got enough sense to do what the Lord says. Now, a lot of people, and all these people all want to be leaders as well. You take Dathan and all kinds of other nothing type people, they want to be the leaders. And you cannot be a leader unless you're a good follower. It's impossible. That's one thing that the Lord taught me, and I didn't realize that it was the Lord teaching me that early in life, is that he taught me I had to follow. I've been put through one situation after the other in my life to where it was like a life of horrible. It was like there was nothing for me. And I just resigned myself to that life. And I wondered why some people had everything and I didn't have anything but my integrity, and I had my brain, I had enthusiasm towards everything, except being in some of the institutions that I was in. A lot of people hated the United States Armed Services, like the Navy. I liked the Navy. I really loved it because it was a huge step up from everything that I ever had in life. Some people had all kinds of things, and when they went to the Navy, it was like drudgery to them. But I was so enthusiastic and happy and to be part of Company 869, which was the meatball company, and that doesn't mean anything to you at all, because you weren't part of it. But I was, and it was like one of the first things that I was ever proud of in my life, that we were in a meatball company, the only one that went through boot camp that was perfect, 4-0 in 70 years, and all the millions of people that went through the Navy. and there was just a few of us. And all these things, like, were significant to me when I read the Bible. All the people went to the 909 Baker, 909 Charlie, except us, because we had to make it our will to do what the chief told us to do. Chief Secor is the Jewish chief. And if we did, then we got to stay. I was so afraid that I would have, I had an awareness that whatever I did in life, at the beginning of my life, would reflect what would happen to me the rest of my life. In other words, if I messed up, it would be on my record. And later on in life, if I ever wanted to be anything, people would look at my past record and see that I was a mess up, that I was in a nut house over at 909 Baker or Charlie, and then they'd just say, nah, we don't want you. And so I just says, I got to make it. I have got to. I'm going to force myself to just do what this chief wants me to do. Because this guy is crazy. He will throw me in 909 Baker like he did my buddy Irving Becker that I joined the Navy with from Billings, Montana. And he went to the nut house. And when he did, he wasn't allowed to go home at Christmas time. We had a furlough. We were allowed to go home. And we were the honor company. Nobody like us on the whole USNTC, United States Naval Training Center, over in San Diego. And I wanted to be honored. And I knew that if I wanted to be honored, that I had to do the will of this chief. And that maybe, and then when I started reading the Bible and I see that the Lord is like Chief Secor was, only Chief Secor was doing it for his own self because he got promoted to a Lieutenant J.G. Instead of a chief, now he's an officer, a lieutenant junior grade. And he also got several thousand dollars for putting through a meatball company, and he got a 1 or 2 months vacation with pay. That's all he was doing it for. But God is doing it for us. If you do the will of the Father, now, if you do the will of God, and because it's, you've got to do it, because if you don't, you're going to be marred for eternity. You're going to be in the pit of hell. And that's why God put me through all these different things in life. If when I was in the state industrial school for boys in Miles City, Montana, when I was a young boy, I realized if I didn't do the will of the Father, these different section leaders over there, I was going to get beaten to a pulp. And when they beat you to a pulp over there, you were black, blue, yellow, red, orange. You were like a United Nations, your rear end looked like. You was every nationality in the world, every color, beige, you name it. And purple, blue, and bleeding looked like millions of. And so I started waking up to that fact because I would get beaten once, and then I'd say, well, I could get by with something again, and oh, wham, I'd get it again. And then I'd run off, and then I got beaten unmercifully when they caught us, and then put in a small cell where we couldn't stand up or lay down for days with just bread and water, two slices of crust of bread and a pitcher of water during the day. And so you really don't know, you know, what I've been through in order to. I was disciplined. And some people say, well, you were in, you know, state industrial school in Miles City, Montana. Yes, I was. You know something? I must have been one of the most hardest head type people in the world to where I had to be, God was trained, I had to be disciplined. Because I have to be disciplined now for something far more important than to just not get beaten or to just not go to the nut house at 909 Baker and Charlie. Some of those guys that were in 909 Baker and Charlie in San Diego, I'd go over there to visit my friend Irving Becker because he got put in there, as I told you. and people would be sitting out there lounging and happy, and they'd be strumming on a guitar and humming and singing and stuff like that, because they're going to teach everybody that they're not concerned about having a good reputation, or they weren't concerned about the rest of their lives and what they're going to look like if they ever want to become somebody. And I wanted to become a multi-zillionaire when I was a kid. I did not want to live in the poverty that we were living in when I was a kid. And so I was really happy, you know, to learn, you know, what really ticks people off in the state industrial school, and what ticks people off in prison, and what later, I mean, just recently, what ticks them off there. I was able to go through prison because, like, reform school or a state industrial school was a lot worse than that. A lot worse than that. And the Navy was so rigid. And I wanted to be part of something that was perfect in my life, according to the standards of the Navy. And so I went through all that. And then the Lord put me through boot camp. I had to go down and be in Skid Row and preach the gospel over there, and to give my testimony, and to be under subjection to even a woman, of all people, because Tony Alamo was never under subjection to any female, except when I was in the state industrial school, but not in the Navy, and or anywhere else. And then lately, when I was in, I just learned to slide through everything, any kind of discipline, any kind of stuff. I can do all things, especially now that I'm in Christ Jesus, especially when I know that the reward is higher than anything that I ever gained by being disciplined in state industrial school, in jails, in the world itself, on jobs that I worked at, where there were rules and regulations, I had to keep them. When I was in the United States Navy and stationed on North Island after a boot camp at the USNTC in Camp Elliott, and I mean, I'm, you know, I thank God that He put me through the training. It was like a cross, for sure, and it still is. Now I know to discipline myself, and hopefully you learn from my testimony that it's. I thank God that I went through state industrial school and to jails, and that I was taught. You know, some of the most of the things I've been through in these state industrial school and in jails was for things that I didn't do. But there were a lot of things that I did that I should have been put in jail for, that I didn't get caught, okay? And so, you know, I wasn't any prince or anything like that of a person, or a person that I knew what I was. But I thank God that He saved my soul, that I'm circumcised in the heart now, and that I'm doing to the best of my knowledge the Word of God, doing what He wants me to do, and that I'm denying my own flesh. I always seek the Lord as what to do and what to say. And so let's ask the Lord to bless this chapter 6, all right? And let the lessons, you know, we're all supposed to be testimonies. We're supposed to deliver our soul to one another so that we can see what God, so everyone can know what God did with me. He got me in basic training before I was there, years before I was ever saved. Years and years before I was ever saved, I went through such a lot of fire. And since I've been saved, I've been through it too, but because of what I went through in the past, the Lord has made it easier for me to go through, because I'm doing it for the Lord now. And I know that the reward is so much higher. Father, bless this chapter. Read the header on it, please.
The Fall of Jericho.
Okay, Lord, let everyone receive from the fall of Jericho, that it's better to not be like the sinners in Canaan land, that because they fell, and every one of them were destroyed, with the exception of the harlot, Rahab. And Lord, let us realize that even if we were sinners in the past, that if we repent, if we are washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with with the Spirit of God, that all the former sins that we had committed have been washed away. And Lord, let us realize that how disciplined these people had to be. They saw their fathers and their mothers drop dead in the wilderness, and they realized through the years that they were out in the wilderness that they were being disciplined there. They had to. The Lord was teaching them to crucify their flesh, that the flesh is nothing, and that they should be more concerned about you being in their presence, in their midst. And now, how much more we who are in the New Testament and you're living within us, inside of us, should we be concerned about the carrying of the cross, in other words, self-denial, and following you and just abstaining from sin, because there's Satan can't make us sin at all. So people that say that Satan made me do it or the devil made me do it, this is totally wrong. The devil is going to can hit us and talk to us, but we're not to say, oh, the devil told us to do this and cry about it, because as though this were so hard to not do. I mean, when the devil would, if the devil ever came to me and told me to commit suicide, tell him to go jump himself. Or if the devil ever told me to commit adultery or fornication or anything like this, it's the same thing. It's I'm being tempted, but I'm not really, my soul is not tempted any more than the soul of Jesus was tempted. He threw temptation, hey, you can have the whole world if you'll just come and worship me. Well, I don't want this world. Either did Jesus, but at any, but what happened is the devil spoke those words to him, which means that he was tempted. There was an attempt made to tempt him, but he didn't go for it. So we're all going to have these things said to us. It's like people will be said, oh, you could be in movies and all this. People said that to me all my life. Oh, you're so great looking, and you're all these different things, and I just it's just the most stupid thing in the world, because I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, people are telling me this. So I went to the studios, and I was asked, yeah, to be in the motion pictures and everything, but so I went on the set and I saw them making motion pictures, and it was so boring to me that even though I wasn't involved in it, I almost came to tears. I almost wept. It was so boring to me. And I said, this is the hardest job in the world, because I just couldn't do that. And not only that, I cannot act. I don't want to act. I even went to acting school, the same school Marlon Brando went to, Montgomery Clift, and all these major actors went to, and I couldn't do it. They want me to, you know, they tell you to do all these crazy things, you know, and I just have too much respect for myself to do it. They even get to the point where they say, okay, now be a snake, and you're supposed to get on the floor and wiggle around. I'm not going to do that. Now be a dog, you know, bark and all this kind of stuff. And all the students, you know, they laugh, you know, with your, when you're doing the, you're imitating these particular animals and so on and so forth. Loosen up. Loosen up. I even quit smoking at the time. And the guy says, what do you torture yourself for? Man, you know, smoke. You're uptight. And I said, I know, I just don't want to be a dog, man. You know? And or a snake either, or any of these things you want me to do. Why can't you just get out? No, you've got to learn how to just completely not be yourself. Forget yourself. And this is what you have to do, is forget yourself and let the Lord be alive in you. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can't let the things, you know, you should be a movie star and all this. This is, people just want to see if you'll be influenced by what the devil is saying in their mouth, saying through them to you. Oh, God, you ought to be in pictures. You're so wonderful. You're just so wonderful. But look at, there's hundreds of thousands of people that you could say that about, you know, but that doesn't mean they should be actors or actresses or what profit is there? You know, some of the definitions of actors and actresses and stuff, it's like hypocrites. Is that going to get a person into heaven? No. There's too much temptation in that type of life as well. And they just really think there's somebody that they're not. And I've just met so many of them. And so don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, if you sow into the Lord, you're going to reap the Lord. If you sow into the world, you're going to receive corruption. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, open up the spiritual ears and eyes of our spirits, of our minds, spiritual mind and soul, and let everything that is said in your word, and also give me the commentary exactly what it is that you want me that you want to say through me. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Joshua chapter 6, the fall of Jericho, King James Version, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor.
Right. Since I've been saved, also I found out that most of the people don't want to associate with you because they figure that you're going to minister death to them. But really, you know, people should realize that we're ministering life. We're the only ones that are ministering life to you in this whole world. We don't minister death at all. There's no death that we minister at all. So the Word of God brings forth life, not death. All you people that believe that, you're the one that's dead right now. What we're trying to do is bring you to life. You've never been alive before in your life. Your body's walking around and everything, but your soul, your spirit, is dead. And so Jesus said, I am the life, not the death. Amen?
Amen.
And Satan is the death. The one you follow now is the death, and you're dead in your sins and in trespasses. And so were all the people in the city of Jericho. And on top of that, their bodies were soon to die. Now their spirit is dead, and they're soon to die. Now we have a conscience, and you can hear the words of the Lord. And if you do the opposite of what you're hearing, if you have a conscience, if your spirit is alive, your conscience is your spirit. And we communicate with the Lord with our spirit. All those that worship the Lord will worship Him in their spirit and in truth and in sincerity, and with the girdle, the belt. And also, if your spirit is alive, you're going to communicate with the Lord and talk to Him, and you're going to want Him to talk to you if you're really alive. But if you're dead, you're going to be afraid of all these things. And number three, if your spirit is alive, you're going to have intuition. You're going to intuitively know when the Lord is present, when the Lord is troubling your spirit, and when He's saying, no, don't do this, or yes, do this, or go here. See what this is all about. I want to see if your will is going to continue on being in my will, or if you're going to continue on, or if you're going to continue on in me, or go back to your old way of life and do what you did before, just to do things your own will. And so there's many temptations that are, you know, things that look tempting, and you think, well, it could be used for the Lord in this world, but then is it of the Lord, though? And so decisions, rash decisions, fast decisions cannot be made. We can't move until we hear the Lord, until the Spirit of the Lord moves on us. Recently I've been offered many things that are like, it seems like it could be used for the Lord because it has something to do with something that we already have, and it could be used by God to where we would have untold riches. And also there's a situation opening up where we could be all over the world, and yet you know, it's something that I really have to pray about. So pray that God will give me the exact direction. I believe I want you to pray that, all right, that God gives me total clear vision in this situation, in both of them, in several of them actually. And now what verse are we?
Verse 3.
Okay, and so here they are enclosed in this city, and they know they're going to be destroyed, and they know they're lost, and they close their doors. They don't want anybody to come in to witness to them, and they don't want to go out to be witness to. They're afraid to go to a church that they know where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's the way people are today. They're like clams. If they don't know about something, they just know that these people have got to be of God. And we don't know if we're right with the Lord or not. If it was me, I'd go out there and say, look, what can I do to join you people? I know we're doing something wrong. Tell me the ways of the Lord. And you can do that today. You can read the Bible and see what the ways of the Lord are. You know, you can do that, and you can accept the Lord into your heart and know that you don't have to stay inside your shell any longer. You don't have to believe that life is death any longer. The devil's got you on a trip because you are dead now if you're not saved. Your soul is lost, and if your body dies, then you're not only your soul, your spirit, with the conscience, with the intuition, and the communion with the Lord back and forth, you're dead if you don't have those three. But you're alive if these three are in operation, your conscience, your communion with the Lord, and your intuition. All that, and if you're doing the will, it's your will, which is in the soul, if your soul is doing what the Lord says rather than what you say. Well, how do we know the reward is there? Because it's impossible for the Lord to lie. And he says that the reward is great. And you know, the more I serve the Lord, the more I know, the more God manifests himself in my life. I know him more and more, and I get more confidence, because when I do what he says, then doors open that have never been opened to me in my life. In my whole spiritual life also. And so this is what makes you go. It's like you're going one step at a time into this. It looks like an entranceway to a cave. It's dark until you get in there. But the Lord is the light, and he opens up the light, and you go into one more beautiful area and another beautiful area, and it's all illuminated in there where you're going. And there's just treasures that are untold. The more you walk in areas where you don't know where you're at any more than Abraham did. He says, go to this land, and he says, I'm going to show you the treasures, and everything is yours. And he promises that eternal life is ours, and that everything that he owns we become heirs and joint heirs of. And it's like, it's unspeakable, the treasures and the things that the Lord shows you that belong to you. Everything belongs to you that is wonderful. Okay, now let's continue on.
Verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days.
Okay, so they're going to go around that city once for 6 days. on the seventh day, they're going to go around it seven times. And these people are terrified inside because they don't want nothing to do with the Lord. They're all dead in their sins, and they're going to die. They know they're going to die. They're saying, what's going on out here, man? This is spooky. They're not saying a word. This whole about 3 million people, or now it might be, have dwindled down to 2 million. The number is uncertain. And they're just saying nothing. And what's going on here? It would spook anybody, wouldn't it?
Yes.
If you have a brain in your head. You see that just the army itself, and here's these people, this army went through the Red Sea and they crossed Jordan. It opened up for them. And all these different cities and kings have been destroyed by them. And here they are marching around and around our house. Our house? Good golly, Miss Molly. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
Verse 4, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets.
These horns, they're coming at us with horns. You know, like in Vietnam, a lot of these people that were attacking our men over there didn't even have weapons, but they had horns and wheezers and everything else, and they were screaming and yelling, and that terrified them, you know? Horns! And here, these people, they're all silent, and on the seventh day they got horns, and they're going to blow them, and they're going to scream, and there's going to be like the place is going to cave in. Amen?
Amen.
It's terrifying. You know, if you can imagine this scene, you don't really have to have the imagination. It's right here in the Bible. And it happened. There's evidence of it. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him.
Okay, so it's like these walls are incredibly thick, so thick that they actually have houses inside the walls. And those walls are going to cave in, made out of stones, and they're high walls. That's incredible, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 9. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's these people that are in the government, you know, this beastly government, they read the Bible and they see this, and they knew that this terrified the people of Jericho, and that's what they did at Waco, Texas. To those pitiful people that were inside the house, they were playing just music, and they also playing recordings of rabbits being killed and everything. It's the sound, these horns, and also the sounds of things, and to be surrounded and everything, and for the, it's like taunting the people. So the evil people always, Satan always imitates or tries to imitate as close as possible the things that the Lord has had the people of the Lord do. They think they have all power, and the pitiful people in the government are very pathetic because they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and they're going to go out to meet the Lord. And many of them are doing it. They're being killed one right after the other daily. And they don't know that they're lost, and that's horrible. And it's up to us to prophesy over these dead people, the dead bones, to get them resurrected so that they don't have to be trembling in there. You imagine this crew of people just going around and these horns blowing and just silence. Then what?
Verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout.
This is like taunting, tormenting the people. What is this? We've never seen anything this weird before. This is weird. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you know that the Lord was like thumbing his nose at them? Amen?
Amen.
You don't thumb your nose at the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, it tells that because you mocked him, in other words, thumbed your nose at him, when your soul is coming out of your husk, out of your body, and you're crying out, and you see hell, and you start screaming to God, oh, God, please, he says, I'll mock at you. He'll go, oh, God, please. And then he says, he'll start laughing at you. And I can't, there isn't anything to me that's more taunting and horrible than to not only be dead and lost and to have to suffer for eternity, but to have God laughing about it and mocking you. Oh, God, please. Oh, God. You that were marching around and persecuting Christians and thinking that you, and taking advantage of them, you thought, then God is going to, like, taunt you. You can see that this is his personality. He's making them do this. Amen?
Amen.
And if they don't, they'll drop dead. Okay? Right?
Right.
Okay, so read the first chapter of the book of Proverbs and see. He says, because you didn't pay any attention to anything I said, then when I hear you crying for help, he says, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to pay any attention to you. I'm going to laugh at you and mock at you. Because you the same did as much as the same to me when I told you the words of what you're supposed to do. You didn't pay any attention to me. You had a deaf ear. And when your soul is in hell, I won't even hear you. You could scream and scream forever, and I don't care. Don't you get it? That's the way he is. Now you say, well, man, you're preaching a different kind of God than what I've heard all my life. What can I tell you? You're going to a satanic church. I'm telling you what the Bible says, friend, okay? You want to listen to the demon that told you that God is all love and doesn't do this? Well, then go. You're going to a demonic church. But you're supposed to go to the church of the Lord. Now, these dead churches say that we're a cult. But no. If they're teaching you that God is not this way, then they're the cult, okay? We're alive, and they're dead, and so are you. If you believe that, you better believe God, okay, the Bible. Well, it's been changed down. So no, it hasn't. The Word of God never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God always remains the same, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Verse 13, and seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpet.
See, instead of that, over at Waco, they're playing these boots. Some need for walking. Doot, 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 you know. And here these people, they're firing bullets into them and smoke bombs and all that. And these people in there are hearing these rabbits being killed over loudspeakers and everything like that. These boots, and Nancy Sinatra singing, "These boots are made for a walk." And but see, these people, you see them killing people and murdering all over the world. Well, unsaved people are totally terrified by these satanic people. But these are godly people, and these people know that this God of theirs, of these Jews, kills satanic people and opens up seas for them. The sea, Red Sea, for them, and does all sorts of things like this. It makes bread come on the ground every morning and water come out of rocks. They've heard all that, and they're terrified. I mean, the hair on their head is probably standing up on the back of their necks and possibly on the front of their foreheads as well. Okay? And they're just tooting, toot, 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 toot. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 14. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days.
How long is this? Oh, finally they're probably getting used to it after the sixth day, you know. Oh, well, yeah, you know, we don't know what this is, but anyway, you know, how many days are this going to go on? Not long, Bunky. Mañana. Just mañana. Amen?
Yeah.
Just tomorrow. Domani. All right, then what?
Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Verse 16. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Translation, verse 1-16, the fall of Jericho. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. Verse 2, but the Lord said to Joshua, quote, "I have given you Jericho, its king and its mighty warriors." Verse 3, your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. Verse 4, 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. Verse 5, when you hear the priests give one long blast on the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout.
These are directions of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This isn't the Pope giving the orders for these reprobates to be doing the things that they did, and I pray that they're not going to be reprobates, that they hear this tape and that they get saved. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, that isn't doing unto others the way you'd like to have them do unto you, would you?
No.
Well, the Lord says He'll destroy you. And it wasn't these, you know, He's doing the same thing here. Then what?
Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the city, unquote. Verse 6, so Joshua called together the priests and said, quote, take up the Ark of the Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn, unquote. Verse 7, then he gave orders to the people, quote, march around the city, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord, unquote. Verse 8, after Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Verse 9, armed guards marched both in front of the priest and behind the Ark.
I could just see on top of the wall the fingers there and their noses hanging over the wall. And their beady eyes just looking down there. Amen?
Amen.
The whole wall just lined with these beady eyes in these fingers and the noses hanging over the wall. Okay, then what?
Armed guards marched both in front of the priest and behind the ark, with the priest continually blowing the horn. Verse 10, quote, do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. then shout, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 11, so the ark of the Lord was carried around the city once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp.
Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord.
Verse 13, the seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Armed guards marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time the priests were sounding their horns. Verse 14, on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. Verse 15, on the seventh day the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the city as they had done before. But this time they went around the city 7 times. Verse 16, the seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast on the horn, Joshua commanded the people, quote, shout, exclamation mark, for the Lord has given you the city, exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent.
Yeah, this is a case of, you know, like when Sue and I first were told that we were to be married, and that I believe that we were married the minute that the Lord did that, and it was just supernatural. I felt that we were married, and I felt that I had a new heart. He told us to go into, you know, she said we have to go into Sin City, Las Vegas. But I see that this happened also with the two witnesses here, amen, that went into Jericho. They went right into the harlots area, and that's how Sue and I were in here in Las Vegas. And also we see Lot was also around Sodom and Gomorrah. But then they told him to get out. Amen. The Lord told him to get out, amen. So we got out also, all right, and we've come back for visits now and then. And I'm broadcasting to you right now from Las Vegas, and we're about ready to leave town. Most of the time we were in the hotel rooms, and I was on talking business from 11 o'clock yesterday morning till about 11 o'clock at night, and I was exhausted and came home to the hotel room. We really haven't been, you know, hardly just anywhere, amen. Okay, then I was going to meet a friend of mine at a place where they were having this event. It was a sports event. And because I wanted to witness and testify or be around some of the different people in the sporting event that I felt that I knew. But in the meantime, let's finish this message here so that we can flee out of this town. Amen?
Verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it.
Yeah, they're not to take anything out of there. Then what?
Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her.
Well, this is really something. You mean to say, save a harlot? Well, some of the people today, because when you make a deal with somebody like that, to save them, they knew that this harlot believed in the Lord and that she was ready, receptive to receive everything that they said. And because they would tell her that if you became a harlot now, if you were committing a fornication or adultery, or anything like this, that we're going to kill you. And so she repented, all right? For sure, she repented. So Jesus didn't have the woman in the New Testament stoned to death either, because those that would have stoned her were as sinful as she was. And so he says, okay, I forgive you for your former sins, now go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
Lest something worse happens to you, and that you won't be able to repent. And especially today, the people that know so much of the truth, and they just don't ever repent. Those kind of people, we're sure they're finished. Okay, then what else?
Verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel.
And why did they do this? Because they obeyed what the witnesses of the Lord told them to do. Stay in that room and don't go out on the street, because if you do, you're going to get killed. Amen?
Amen.
Stay in the Lord. Stay where we tell you to stay, or else you're going to be destroyed. You're going to hell. It's the same thing. So it doesn't matter if you're a sinner before, but if you'll do what we say now, what the Lord says, you're spared. I don't care if you're a harlot or what. Your sins are all washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're just like a virgin. You've never committed a sin. And you have as much right to be, if you're going to get married to, like in the church, we don't, a lot of people, you can dress in a white wedding gown just like any virgin would, and go to the altar and be married. Or if you don't dress in a wedding gown any more than Rebecca did, or Sarah, all this wedding gown stuff is just, you know, a lot of Gentile garbage. You're just as white as snow, and you've never committed any sin in your life, and God doesn't even remember anything you ever did before. And either you believe that, or you're lost. Okay? You have to believe that you never committed a sin before. If, no matter what you've done before, you've got to. If God forgives you, then you have to be big enough to forgive yourself. Right?
Right.
But just don't sin anymore, because the Lord also tells you that. Then what?
Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it.
Yeah, I've been to Jericho when I was in Israel, and there's nothing there. It's the most, one of the most bleakest places. I saw a few little houses there, and a store, very shabby looking store, some date palms, there were some dates growing on a tree, and you look down from the slope of it, because it's a little bit on a high slope, you look down and you see the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea way down below, and that's it, there's nothing happening there at all. Okay, then what?
Verse 27, So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Translation, verse 17 through 27. The city and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared.
So you see, destroying a city that's sinful, like Jericho and Sodom and Gomorrah, is like an offering to the Lord. He loves that. The Lord, he says, I make alive, I kill, and I make alive. And I build up and I tear down. I destroy. So, you know, these people are just, oh, no, no, God, it's all love. You're just hearing from the devil when you hear people like that. Those are devils. Okay, then what?
Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in the house, in her house, will be spared, for she protected our spies. Verse 18. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed. and you will bring trouble on all Israel.
Yeah, now this is a warning to everybody, and Achan didn't listen to it. He said, I'll destroy these people. If you take anything, I'll destroy you. Because I destroy both heathen sinners and supposed to be Christian sinners. If you were to say you're a Christian and you commit sin, you're a stinking sinner. You're nothing. You're worse than the sinner out on the street that has never heard the gospel before. And God will destroy you. Then what?
Verse 19. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Unquote. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the city from every side and captured it. Verse 21. They completely destroyed everything in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, donkeys, everything.
But what about little babies when they're crying? Lord said, kill them all. He knows that they're the seed. You put a radish seed in the ground, and it's going to be a radish when it comes up. Okay, it's going to be the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
So these are two sinners that had sexual relationships. They had some children, and they're just sinners, evil, wicked people that would be more prone to do what they see wicked people do than they would to be doing what the godly people do. There's people in this world that are sitting in churches by the millions that if they see evil, they're very quick to run to it and very slow to do anything that the Lord says to do. And God knows. And he might as well, he says, back there in the Old Testament, he says, put them to death. All of them. Okay? They're bad seed. But in the New Testament, bad seed, you know, can get saved and ask the Lord to come into their heart. But chances are, they won't. 99 and 9/10% of the people, or even more than that, will be in hell. Very few. It's just slim pickings. Out of the billions of people that have lived, there'll just be millions in heaven. But thank God for us that are of the millions. Amen? Amen? Then what?
Verse 22. Then Joshua said to the two spies, quote, keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house. Bring her out along with all her family.
Why keep your promise? Because if you don't keep your promise, then you get it. That's why the Lord tells you, don't make business deals with people in this world and not follow through. Be careful what you say. Because if you make a business deal with somebody, and if it's anybody, even if it's unsaved, and you don't fulfill it, then you're going to get it from the Lord. So keep your bargains. And if you're not going to, you have to go there and apologize and tell them that you are sorry because you just don't have what you said that you had and you can't do it. You can't fulfill the obligation and please let me out of the deal because I can't do it. That's a very embarrassing thing to do, so watch what you say. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 23. The young men went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Verse 24. Then the Israelites burned the city and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. Verse 25. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Verse 26. At that time Joshua invoked this curse. Quote, may the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the city of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. Unquote. Verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his name became famous throughout the land.
Okay, that was the last verse of chapter 6 of Joshua, and now we have some commentary.
6, verse 1 through 2. Jericho is one of the most ancient cities on earth. It is first mentioned in the biblical record in Numbers 22, verse 1. The walls of this fortified city enclosed only about 7 acres. Thus, a large portion of its people lived in the surrounding countryside. They retreated inside the walls, not wishing to fight Israel because of their fear. 6, verse 8 through 15. God's unconventional strategy included waiting, walking, and no talking. This particular march, day after day, with no apparent result, was a test of their obedience and trust. Psalm 37, verse 34.
Right. Now, you know, it's 7 acres there. And if you go into Jerusalem, Jerusalem is spread out all over the place. I mean, it's a huge city. But the old Jerusalem where the walls are, it doesn't look like it's more than 10, 15, 20, maybe at the most 20 acres. Or 20, I just don't think it would be more than 20 acres with the Wailing Wall and everything in there. But when you go outside, then Jerusalem is, you go a mile or so away from there, and there's the Jerusalem Hilton Hotel, and there's all kinds of buildings and everything that have nothing to do with the stone, the old city there. And that's the way it was in Jericho, which it was more, there's countryside around there and everything where people had farms and so on. They hid there. Okay, and then what?
It also demonstrates the power of worship as seen in the leading of the ark and the continual trumpet blowing. 6 verse 15. The number 7 symbolized perfection and the mighty work of God. Its first mention in the biblical record is at creation, Genesis 2 verse 2 through 3. 6 verse 17 through 19. The first fruits of the harvest were to be set apart for God, Leviticus 23 verse 10. So too the spoils of Jericho, being the first fruits of conquest, must be totally devoted to God, bracket abstain from the accursed things. And
that's what made this Achan and his family so wicked, that they would take something from there and steal it from God. Okay, then what?
6 verse 20 through 21. Utterly destroyed. The Canaanite civilization was so totally corrupt that coexisting with them would have been a serious threat to the survival and spiritual welfare of the Hebrew nation. Israel here is God's instrument of judgment against those who refuse to honor him. 6 verse 22 through 25. His promise, chapter 2 verse 12 through 21. Not only did God spare Rahab and her family when the walls collapsed, but also during the rampage, 2 verse 12 through 21. Rahab was the great-grandmother of David, Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. 6 verse 26 through 27. The curse was to invoke God's woe on someone.
So it just shows that God forgives her sin and makes her the what?
Great-grandmother of David.
The lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ came from that whore that repented. So that shows for sure that all of her sins were forgiven because she didn't go and sin some more, but she went and sinned no more. That she's honored as being part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what?
The fulfillment of this curse comes over 500 years later in the death of Abiram, son of Hiel, of Bethel, 1 Kings 16, verse 34.
That's why the Bible says that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven before a self-righteous person that just folds their arms and just says, no, that's not the way that even when the Lord forgives, they don't forgive. Then what else?
6 verse 10. Silencing unbelief, faith instructs us to, quote, wait on God, unquote, to stand still, to be silent before him. Moses, Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 through 17. David, Psalm 37, Psalm 37, verse 7 through 8.
You know who Jerubbabel is? Jerubbabel? I taught that in just a few lessons back. Wasn't it Gideon?
Yes.
Try to remember. Okay, what else?
In this text.
Now, it's not talking about Zerubbabel there, but I am. Okay, what else?
In this text, Joshua commands the children of Israel to maintain total silence as they walk around the city of Jericho. The memory that Israel's 40-year punishment in the wilderness was a result of the people's murmuring in unbelief was doubtless in Joshua's mind. At that time, the spies had returned with a report motivated by what man sees without Holy Spirit-given vision. Their unbelief that they could take the land had sealed their fate in the wilderness. Now, with the lessons of history in mind, Joshua's directive to keep silence is a precaution that teaches us. When facing great challenges, do not permit yourself to speak unbelieving words. Prohibit demoralizing speech from your lips. Words can bind up or set free. Hence, the order to silence. Later, they would see the salvation of the Lord following their shout of triumph. 6 verse 20. We cannot help what we see and hear, but our refusal to speak, doubt, and fear will keep our hearts more inclined to what God can do rather than to what we cannot do. See Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30 through 33, Numbers 13, verse 30, chapter 14, verse 6 through 9, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 24 through 31. 6, verse 1 through 14. Israel was ready to attack, but God told them to wait. God required his people to do something that on the surface seemed very foolish. They were commanded to march around the city day after day. The Israelites obeyed God and persisted in their faith, not fully understanding how God would destroy the walls of Jericho. When there are seemingly unbreakable barriers along the road to mature faith, God can make those barriers crumble down, allowing us to be victorious. But we need to do things his way, even if we don't always understand why. 6 verse 16.
Well, the actual understanding is if you don't, then you go to hell. Amen.
Amen.
That we do understand. Amen.
Amen.
But I mean, if he tells you to do certain things, some people don't understand why. I don't understand why he tells me to go from one town to the next or to do that. But I do know if I don't do it, I go to hell. Okay? I just want to clarify that. Okay, then what else?
6 verse 16, blowing the horn. 6 verse 17, the Hebrew term used here refers to the complete consecration of things and people to the Lord, either by destroying them or by giving them as an offering, also in chapter 6 verse 18 and 21.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 6 with the 27 verses in commentary. Don't be a member of Jericho or, you know, in a, be open to what the Lord wants you to do. And don't be afraid of life, but fear the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So that you can have life. Don't be dead and not fear God and keep his commandments. Concentrate on that, meditate both day and night, and you'll stand another day in the Lord, I'm sure of it. Till chapter 7, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.